listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and sitting in this tiny West Town apartment for the second time is...
Brent Cato.
There you go, Brent. How are you?
I am great.
Oh, wow. That was animated. Okay.
I am going to be animated
for your
today.
Wife. Or should I not mention your wife?
You can mention... Hey. You can mention my wife.
Because you can't cheat on her as easily if you're on the podcast talking about her, can you?
Well, I talked about her last time I was on the podcast, yeah. Which brought me great fame.
Did it really? Good. That's the sure. Plus point. I'm just fucking with you. Within 30 seconds, I've already made you uncomfortable. That's
no,
perfect.
That's fine. That's... Usually it takes 15 for you to make me uncomfortable.
Usually, that is kind of true. So I am louder and crasser than you are. You're such a nice man, and I'm a very bad boy. That sounded weird.
Bad boy.
I slept too much today. Anyways, Brent's on the show for the second time because his second film, or I don't know how I should phrase that, the film that he helped make slash created... Because it makes it sound like no one else had a part of it. I say your second film.
Right.
But screw it, for just to make it easy. Your second film is done, and it had its like premiere for family and friends last night. So
last
we're going to talk
yes.
about that. But first, you wanted to talk about something that we talked about in the last show.
Very important stuff.
About, what, 18 months ago?
It was right after Thanksgiving, I think.
Okay.
And I was on the podcast, mm-hmm. episode 13. Lucky,
Jesus, that's a long time ago.
Lucky 13. What are you on now? What's this one going to be?
79? Hold on, 78 maybe? 79? 78. I don't know.
I was on the podcast back then, and we talked about everything from my first film to books that I had written, website that I run, talked about drugs, talked about my family.
Mm-hmm.
But when anyone ever approaches me and talks to me about my appearance on this podcast, they want to say how happy they are or want to know more about Sean Kemp.
Sean Kemp, famous basketball player, most famous for playing for the Seattle Supersonics, but he played for three other teams. He
correct.
Famously fathered at least seven children.
Correct.
And was referenced in an episode of Law and Order as someone who famously fathered at least seven children.
Correct.
What did you have to bring to the table today about Sean Kemp?
Well, first of all, just so everyone knows, he went to my high school. He's a little bit older than I am, but he went to my high school.
He's 40 right now, and he weighs 280 pounds.
Yeah.
Continue.
And
you got to paint a picture, man.
I think a lot of people probably know who Sean Kemp is,
no.
The Rain Man.
Well, yes, they imagine the Rain Man as some like wiry guy that could dunk from like half court. No, this guy.
Still one of the top dunkers of all time.
Yeah, but now he weighs 280 pounds,
right.
And he's 40. So I'll say he's like top 10 dunkers, not top 5 anymore.
Well,
he's a fat fuck.
Well, he was, though, when he was in his prime.
Listen.
Dr. J's not one of the top 10 dunkers
yes,
right
but
now,
Dr. J but... still looks good in that
okay.
Dr. Pepper commercial because he could sink that ice cube.
Okay. We're spending way too much time on sports already. Anyway.
That's never possible. Continue, though.
Sean Kemp, we got to keep all of my adoring public informed about Sean Kemp. He was on an episode of a TV show called Pros and Joes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about this show, but...
Wasn't it, what network was it on? Was it on Versus or something
Spike.
Like that? Spike.
I don't know
TV.
If that's really even a network.
Spike TV,
whatever.
A network that I went on my only audition for.
Really?
We'll talk about that soon.
Sure. Anyway, so he was on that show, whatever that is. So everyone rest easy and you can sleep tonight knowing that Sean Kemp is still in the
Sean
public
Kemp,
eye.
Not dead.
Not dead. Second thing, which maybe more sports fans might know, his son and namesake,
mm-hmm.
Sean Kemp Jr., will be a freshman next year on the University of Auburn basketball team, and they have a new coach who's also originally from Indiana, who came from UTEP, Kenny Rowan, and so they could be an upstart program, and it could all revolve around another Sean Kemp.
Yes. I learned a lot right there.
So buy your number 40 Seattle Supersonics jerseys and look cool now.
Do you think that... Okay, I have this theory, or not theory, more of a plan. I really want to make summer 2010 the year of Big Johnson and No Fear t-shirts.
Ours was, in my area, it was TNC.
That's the thing. Everyone has, what's TNC?
TNC Surf Shop. They had some, like, it was like a gorilla that surfed or
yeah,
something.
Like that shit. We need to do that, and then...
I'm surprised it hasn't come back with all the hipsters running around.
I'm saying, I think it's a little bit behind the curve.
Maybe.
We're like at 1990 right now with LCD Sound System's new cover. That's the year we're at. Wait 3 years. It's going to be great.
Well, and please, hopefully, someone out in Hollywood's listening. I have written a full-length screenplay and have sent it out to multiple agents and will enter it into screenwriting festivals titled 1994. It's perfect timing. It's
Did
about,
you really?
Yeah.
Are you about, happy with this or was it a joke?
No, it was something that I kind of knew, just like you're saying, where mm-hmm. where we're at is 1990. Everybody's, you know, the hipsters were like referencing back to the 80s. The next big thing is going to be referencing back to the mm-hmm. 90s. And I love the music from that time period is what kind of got me started in writing this.
So is this like Singles meets Empire Records, but shot in 2011 or something?
It's Dazed and Confused.
But 1994. I get it. When did you write that?
I wrote it mostly over last summer.
Really?
While I was...
Do you have any... See, you didn't tell me this at all. You're
yeah,
you
hide I'm telling
things.
You now.
You're a liar. You lie all the time. You hide things.
I like to, you know, just bring it out right in public, right on your podcast. Yeah.
I didn't know that. How many characters are in it?
There's probably 7 to 9
that's main a lot characters. Of, I think that's a lot of main characters.
It's like Dazed and Confused, you know. There's probably more than 9 in Dazed and Confused.
Well, I'm asking that because the next film, just like the first film, has like 8 or 9 or 12 characters.
Correct.
Do you find it easier to write like that?
Yes.
Why? Isn't it kind of hard to keep track? And I know that's a dumb
thing. Oh, you mean that that's too many?
Yeah, isn't that kind of hard? Like, because I like 2 characters. Mm. I know where they're going. It makes more sense. It's easier to keep in control. I don't understand how anyone could do 12 characters. I find it very impressive.
Well, I think for me, it's just that I don't get that detail-oriented
okay.
with each character. And I feel like when I'm writing, if I do get that detail-oriented, then it gets boring, or I don't know those characters well enough, even though that I invented them. But
Yeah.
Or I don't want to know them that well, maybe.
Do you think it's easier to write long form if it's 12 characters?
You mean novel?
No, novel or script-wise. Because this is, like you said, is a full-length picture, right? Mm-hmm. 1994. Welcome to Gentle Waters is a full-length.
Mm-hmm.
Your first film was a full-length.
Correct.
Why not just do a short with, like, 4 characters?
I don't know. I mean, I specifically set out to write a full-length screenplay because I wanted to have something else mm-hmm. to market besides the movies that we had done. So I wanted to have like another product.
When you're writing a feature length script, is it different than writing the film that you've made? Because the films you've made is more like an outline.
Correct.
It's like a 100-page outline for a 100-minute movie versus a 100-page script with no outline. Right. And here's the actual dialogue.
Right.
Is it different? Is it the same? Is it easy?
I think it is a lot different. And the Welcome to Gentle Waters, so everyone knows, is more of an improv-based film where the actors just, they know the outline that has been written and they know kind of what they need to say in the dialogue, but it's not written out for them, so it can stay more fresh and it just makes it feel more real and there's more room for things to kind of go back and forth. So I do find writing, you know, the dialogue a lot harder because you're trying to envision
the script itself.
Yeah, for a script like the 94 script that I wrote, because you're trying to talk for people.
When you were writing the 1994 script, were you reading the lines out loud? Did you have people read it?
I did read it out loud. I had a few people read it, but mm-hmm. I should probably have somebody else read it. I did try to send it to a few of screenwriting professors, but none of them, they just sent me back places,
form letters.
No, places I could pay to have somebody read
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
So you, what you're, how do you know these people? Because they're obviously assholes. How do you know these bad, bad people?
The professors?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I just got a hold of a couple professors where I'm...
Do you know any of them personally?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Damn it. All right. I wanted to really tear into some people right there.
I probably will, so I won't say anything bad about
them. I will say all the bad things for you. Okay, you said that when you're working on Welcome to Gentle Waters, it was, quote-unquote, more real.
Correct.
Because it wasn't written down. When you're editing something like that, do you find that, like, yeah, it's technically more real, but it kind of fucks up the story? Because instead of a story, we have, like, random, like, blotches of realness.
Right.
God, that sounded awful. Random blotches of realness. That's in a poem somewhere.
Random.
Some fucking asshole with dreads and not wearing deodorant is going to say that tonight. Random blotches of realness. Fuck that guy. That or, I just made up. Go ahead.
Or after he hears this, he'll copy it.
And it'll be in, like, River North, too.
Yeah.
At a coffee house. Cafe Wahoo, it'll actually be at.
He probably won't be wearing dreadlocks, though. Those are...
They could be extension dreads.
Yeah, like...
But I guarantee no deodorant. Continue, though.
The guy from Counting Crows.
That guy got all the friends pussy in the world. You know that, right?
The what?
Adam Durance.
Friends pussy?
Yeah. He dated Jennifer Aniston and he dated Courtney Cox.
Wow.
In like 94 to 95.
And he had fake dreads. What a loser.
What do you think Around Here is about? Vagina on the show Friends.
I did not know that.
Think about it.
I'll have to rewrite to the song.
Rewrite that 94 script. That's how it should end. Kurt Cobain kills himself. All of a sudden, Counting Crows dude is fucking all the starlets of the day.
And my script, Kurt Cobain's already dead because it's in the summer.
Perfect. And that's with the rise of Counting Crows. That's also the subtext of your film. 1984, parentheses, the rise of Counting Crows. Parentheses, round here, parentheses, in the starlets of Friends' vaginas.
Okay. I'll put that on letters to the agents.
Yeah, it could be like an upside-down triangle on the poster. I could see it right now. And it could be in the font of August and Everything After, or whatever the one was called, and it's just down like that.
I don't like Counting Crows enough even to...
No. It could just be a smear piece, just attacking them.
All right.
That's a great way to spend 3 years of your life, just attacking something you don't really care about. Right. But yours, I'm saying random blotches of realness.
All right, random blotches of realness. It doesn't make it harder... Having all that realness doesn't make it harder in terms of fucking up the story, but it does make it harder because there's usually a lot of really good extra footage that you're just not going
to
use.
So it's a great problem to have.
But is it, I don't know if it's great. It's a good problem.
Is it harder to cut between scenes, though? Because if you're, let's say you're in, like, you have, okay, we need to get from A to B. We need for this person to get out of their chair and to leave the room and say that I'm leaving because my mother has just committed suicide, right?
Right.
You need to do that in every scene. Like, that's the whole point of the scene. And then the next scene is a character comes in and says, I really am hungry. Let's go get lunch, but we can't go to that place because I burned the place down.
Right.
Now, is it going to be weird if one of those, when you're storyboarding that's at like a 5 in terms of emotions?
Right.
And then when you shoot it, like, my mom killed herself at, like, a 2, and the we can't go to the place that burned the place down is, like, an 8. Does this make any sense to you?
I kind of think I know what you're getting at. For me, as the director, moving from being the writer to the director, that's my job. And a lot of times that's something I would have to say is, like, to an actor, like, you're way off here.
Okay.
You know
in your head, like, we need to be at this pace.
Right.
Okay.
Or an emotion, like you're saying, like, you can't be that happy now. You need to be, you need to be sad because you did just find out your grandma has cancer.
Well, in a film like Welcome to Gentle Waters, do you want to explain what it's about?
Sure.
Do that.
It is basically just about a group of people that go to a rehab center, a drug and alcohol treatment center, and it's kind of... a joke. It's just a place that a guy kind of threw together because he thinks he has the space for it and he thinks he's got the skill to do it, but he really doesn't have a clue, and these people are kind of like at his mercy. And
so the film's about addicts and
correct.
People that are assumed to be addicts,
correct,
type of thing.
I mean, they definitely could be addicts, but one of the things that we kind of used as a jumping off point is like, who decides what, you know, is what makes you an addict, and how can you be cured of being an addict? And it's definitely not like some sort of self-help piece. It's all comedy and it's all hilarious.
Because you made it about a rehab center, was it easier to just like throw away conventions of sanity? Because you can always be like, oh, that character's just high.
Well, we actually kept all the characters sober.
Oh, really?
Yeah, except for...
Do you regret that?
No.
Okay.
Even though they might not have been sober while we were filming it.
Come on, you could do better. That was like a Leno joke. Come on. You're better
than
that.
It wasn't a joke.
Yeah, you laughed at yourself. Come
on. It wasn't a joke.
You're better than that. Don't.
I didn't like
that.
The canned laughter that came out of your mouth.
Yeah, that's right. No one does. I don't like it.
There's one character.
You're better than that. I've seen you be funnier.
Okay, I'll try harder.
Don't try at all. Just let it come naturally. I'm like the Bobby Knight of podcast. I don't give any helpful advice, and I'm throwing insults everywhere. Continue.
Just don't throw a chair at me.
Zing! That's is that another better? Letter joke. No, that's worse. It's the exact same.
At least say I'm like Conan or something.
No. Leno? No. Well, you do have the voice of no one on late night TV. Because you people would just be fucking nonstop because they hear your sexy, sexy voice.
Barry White, baby.
Yeah, you do. You do have a very Barry White-ish baritone voice.
I'm married.
That's okay. That wasn't a funny one, but that wasn't bad. All right, I'll stop
interrupting. An ant, a grasshopper, and a beetle walk into a bar. No, I'm just kidding.
Once again, that's... come on, man! That's shit!
That's like, I'm not a comedian.
Stop making shitty jokes and puns.
I'm like an uncle making jokes over here.
Yeah, you kind of are. Okay. You need a drink in your hand instead of Mountain Dew that you brought in.
Oh, no. Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I have a complex about Diet Mountain Dew, which a lot of people know because somebody who will remain nameless, but a friend of mine.
Is it your wife?
No, okay. A friend.
Your wife's not a friend.
Well, she's a friend, but.
She's all right. She's a good girl.
She's a sweet lady. Had said it was really white trash.
To drink Diet Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
I think drinking regular Mountain Dew is way more white trash.
Probably.
You just care about your figure.
I do. Anyway, what were we talking about before you started heckling me with the hyena laugh?
Not everyone was sober on the in the film, but maybe not in real life.
Right.
The attack.
That's the character. One of the characters is a young man who's addicted to, and I put
you just
that
used
in quotes. Yes,
yeah.
Put that in quotes. That. He's addicted to marijuana, and he continues to smoke throughout the movie.
Okay.
And that's Michael Palisak. I know I mentioned that because I know that you know him, and
he's
probably
really funny.
He's probably the most, as far as mainstream, known person in the film, but there's other...
He's been on Comedy Central and all that stuff.
Bob and Tom. Yeah, anyway.
What's Bob and Tom?
Oh, Bob and Tom. You want to talk... I don't like Bob and Tom. It's a radio show.
Is it like on WGN or something?
It used to be on... a lot of stations across America. It's out of Indianapolis, though.
Is it a morning zoo show?
No, it's out of Indianapolis.
It's not a morning zoo, though.
What's that?
A morning zoo is a morning talk show that's like Man Cow.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like...
Traffic on the Fives!
And these guys are...
And Tit Farts!
These guys are... Yeah, and they're completely... the reason I never liked the show, besides it was just like crass kind of redneck humor, mm-hmm. was that they had... the epitome of canned laughter after every single thing that they would say, and it's like the same laughter.
Well, yeah, hence canned.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That might have actually even really been them laughing, but but it was huge all over for a while, like in the late
90s. And was it Palisak a regular or something?
No, nah, he's just been on there a couple times. I don't know if it's because...
Like in Zanies or something.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Just doing a little
Would
shtick.
You want to talk about can someone be addicted to weed? I don't know about, like, I don't want to know your history. I just want you to tell me, like, what you think about it. Because why put that in quotes when you're describing the film about addiction?
I mean, yeah, I don't really personally think someone can be physically addicted to weed. I think just like anything, something can be psychologically or emotionally.
But it could obviously become a habit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, now I just want to attack people that I know that are potheads, but I won't because I'm trying to be a better person.
There's... no reason to attack them.
There's a lot of reasons. It doesn't really have to do with weed. It's all the effects of...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Out of all the drugs that I see my friends consume, it's the drug that like makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
But the effects are the most annoying, if that makes sense.
It's not more annoying to have one of your friends like running around your house at 5 in the morning all jacked up on blow.
No, because those guys are cool, and they're always up for anything.
That's true.
Yeah,
I was always up for doing more blow.
Yeah, it's great.
Since you don't do blow.
Like
or...
you, and like they'll drink forever. They're like, I'll go get some beer.
That's true.
I'll drive to Indiana and come back. And get, like, all right, do that.
I'm not hungry, but you want to go get some breakfast?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I love the guys on cocaine more than the guys on weed, because not everything's funny.
But the guys on weed they're not fun, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like my friends on psychedelic drugs, cocaine, and depending on the person, alcohol.
Alcohol is probably the worst.
Definitely.
Psychedelics could be a problem though too if you're not like on the same page with them.
Oh yeah, the other thing, I'm always sober when they're on psychedelics, right. So it's
just
funny.
Fuck with them.
No, I don't fuck with them. I watch them. I watch. It's very nice, and I make sure they don't jump off of anything. And they're good people.
Yeah,
good high people.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about
Yeah, let's. People. I mean, we can talk. Keep talking about drugs, or we can talk about speaking
people
of, we hate. Or...
Speaking of drugs and hatred, you're getting your PhD at Purdue right now.
Yeah, speaking of drugs and hatred, yes, I'm on a lot of drugs and I hate my life because I'm getting my PhD.
I was going to mention those professors that were mean, but okay.
No, they're not mean.
See, this is why you'll make it and I won't, because you're nice and you keep the peace, and I'm attacking people I've never met.
I think for them, if someone came up to me that I had never met before and just sent me a random email and said, would you be looking to read my 105-page script, I would probably be like, I don't have the time.
Okay,
but...
okay. How did you find these people? Was it all just cold calls type thing, or did you? No. Was it through people that recommended you to them?
Yeah, recommended, but okay, I still...
In the email, did you say, hey, my friend Fred recommended
Not me. Really. I just
Why
said,
not?
Because I just said I'm a PhD student at Purdue. And they're from Purdue.
Okay. Why not say... This is kind of your fault now. Why don't you say? Maybe. Why don't you throw the name out there? That's
know.
The whole point of name dropping.
Yeah. So maybe it is my fault. Maybe I'm the prick.
Let's send those emails right now and see what happens.
Let's call them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's call their office.
On the Zoom. I'm Baba Tom.
I would love to do that, actually.
A morning zoo radio show with, like, serious questions and then goofy side effects.
Or I could just be, like, the movie guy that comes in and talks shit about movies. I would like to do that.
On Bob and Tom or, like, a real
just
radio
like
show?
Just, like, any show.
Like Fresh Air?
Well, no. Like Why a show not? Where I can cuss. And
oh, yeah. Okay.
Be like,
but not cuss. Be like, yeah, well, was food. Fart tits.
Yeah.
The second time I've used fart tits in my life, and both were on this show.
That movie was... Whatever. I'm not going to even try to come up with a ridiculous word. I was going to say...
I'm really glad you didn't say redonkulous.
I was going to say, like, yeah, something that would not even be appropriate for the internet.
How is it not appropriate for the internet?
I don't know. Because my parents might listen.
Ooh, what do your parents think of this?
Of the movie?
Of everything. You going to get your PhD?
Oh, I hope they're... Happy that I'm getting my PhD.
Your wife, what do they feel about your religious beliefs? Do they hark on you for not having kids?
Wow.
Don't answer any of these. What's your bank account?
Do you want the number? Can I give that out over there?
The balance. What you plan to do in 5 years. What if someone gets pregnant? Stuff like that. Let's not talk about any of that.
Let's not.
Let's talk about Eric and Kathy.
I hate Eric and Kathy.
There you go.
I hate those fucking billboards that they have all over
the goofy
town.
Billboards. No, they bring joy to my face. They bring joy to my face. I'm surprised that those aren't the first billboards to be tagged.
Yeah, no.
What the fuck?
Shit.
They're never tagged.
Yeah.
Gangs love Eric and Kathy. Gangs, I'm very disappointed in all of you.
Yes.
Slash, because you know gangs love podcasts.
They do.
Based out of apartments. Okay, so PhD at Purdue.
PhD
what are you going for?
My program is American Studies.
What does that mean?
Aha. I was ready for that. I knew that's what was coming.
Yeah, it's the follow-up.
Right. Great.
Yeah, whenever a waiter comes up, I knew you were going to ask for food after drinks. I fucking knew it. I'm a pro.
Oh, man. We need to start this over.
We ain't doing shit. We're just rolling through.
It's about American culture, obviously, but as one of my...
Well, no, I don't think that's obvious.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because it could be about American history. It could be specifically about the pioneers. It could be specifically about the Boston Tea Party. You know what I mean?
It is about history. It's about America and the...
When you say America, like America 1776 and on, or like 1492 on, or is it just like 1900 on? Is it mostly pop culture? Like, what's the starting point for this?
It's one of the things about the field right now is it's very negotiable. When did America start? You know,
so is that a big deal in the program?
In academia, it is a big deal.
What's your opinion? Let's get off.
I don't know. I think I'm.
Does it matter?
I don't know that it matters either. But I think that if you started at 1776, it's problematic because what about America before that? What about the Native Americans? What about the forces that shaped America and England in 1492, you know, that those things were in place. And so a lot of it is just about this whole matrix of the America is kind of the world, negative and positive in a lot of ways, how we affect policies all over the world and how our culture affects other cultures and the responses to that. And, you know, in some ways it can be very deep and it's about, you know, discrimination and war. And another thing, it's just about popular culture and how we, our entertainment goes all over the world. And
you have a focus in this.
I do.
Well, what's that?
I'm focusing on film specifically, okay. Which is more popular culture based, obviously. And I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to look at. I have a few ideas. I've written a paper about a larger paper about the way technology is represented in films, mm-hmm. as kind of a evil, but also as a necessary evil. Sort of.
When you say technology represented in films, I'm assuming you mean like HAL from 2001.
Actually, I did westerns.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give me an example.
This is one that I actually didn't use in my paper, but I just watched it very recently. In Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 1969, Robert Redford, no, the other guy that's in the movie.
Newman.
When they're leaving.
Paul Newman.
Yeah. When they're leaving America, they're leaving this farm, and they had a bicycle, which is mm-hmm. a famous scene in the movie that he rides around on the bicycle. And he takes the bicycle, which is framed earlier in the movie by the town, somebody, sheriff or mayor, as the wave of the future. He mm-hmm. says that. And then as they're leaving, he takes the bike and pushes it into like a rocky stream, and it like crashes up, and he's like, you can have, here's to the future, you can have it, or something. Mm-hmm. He's like basically saying, you know, fuck modern technology. And yeah. a very, obviously bikes don't mean that today, but back then that's what it's representing, and it was obviously framed that way. So there's tons of examples like that throughout movies where trains are always bringing the criminals, or they're always bringing bad news, or they're always bringing a changing element of society, like, oh, here come all the Chinese workers on a train and it's going to make the town bad or something. So I did that, and I'm also, the paper that I'm working on now is again focus on westerns, because I already had watched a ton of westerns and I watched a ton more, but it's about the way that race is specifically the Hispanic race is represented in westerns.
Okay.
How it's,
what films, give me a film.
I've watched all the Man with No Name series.
Okay, for the Man with No Name stuff, why did you watch that for an American studies degree?
I actually am thinking about even expanding those three films, and even if I just look at a representation of race, because it is, that's kind of what American studies is. It's very, mm-hmm. here's a Italian director.
Shot in Europe.
Shot in Spain. American
lead, but otherwise European actors.
True, yeah, exactly. American
scored
lead.
Scored by an Italian man.
Scored by an Italian man.
Based on a Japanese film.
Based on a Japanese film, and also based, I believe, no. But also, another small part, Hispanic characters played by Jewish Americans. Mm-hmm. So it's very transnational is the buzzword in academia right now. So that's a very good point.
It's one of the best American films in a way.
And it's also not only based on a Japanese film, but it's inspired by American Westerns. He mm-hmm. set out to make an American Western better.
Yeah, so it's
by
like,
copying a Japanese film. I mean, it's
brilliant.
Well, that's kind of what the current concept of American studies is that all these things all over the world, or even right here in America, aren't the product of just one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff we're buying at Walmart is made in, we'll just say, Mexico, mm-hmm. because of things that happened here. It's made in Mexico, it's shipped back here, then we complain about jobs going to Mexico, yeah. or Mexican immigrants coming here to work at Walmart. It's like this whole, it's like a matrix.
It's,
that's a
wonderful cycle.
Yes, it's a cycle. It's like, and that's
only because I'm on top, that's why it's wonderful.
Oh yeah,
but I'm only moderately on top.
It's very complicated, and that's the reason why people are studying it.
Would you want to make a Western? Are they needed anymore?
No.
Because I've seen about four Westerns in the past 4 years that are relatively new. Like The Proposition, mm-hmm. which is an Australian Western,
right.
that Nick Cave wrote, is definitely my favorite.
I haven't seen it, but
I think you'd really like that, especially if you like The Man with No Name trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then I saw The Ballad of Jesse James, but
the Assassination
of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. not as good. Very pretty, one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen, but stuff like that. Brokeback Mountain is, in a way, is a Western, kind right. of. Do you want to make a Western? Are they needed anymore?
I mean, I don't know. I think the Westerns will continue to be made. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And I think...
They're not. I mean, because let's be honest, there's always a lull. Like, before right. Unforgiven, there was like a 10-year lull where there was really no Westerns.
Right, and then there was almost another, after that short time period in the early 90s, there was almost another 10-year lull where yeah. there wasn't a lot, and then there became the Brokeback Mountain, 310 to Yuma remake, Jesse James, like you mentioned.
But there's still not a lot.
No. There isn't a lot. Like, I mean, back in some of these films that I'm watching, in 69, for example, mm-hmm. Five of the top grossing films and four of the nominated films for top Best Picture Academy mm-hmm. Award were Westerns.
Yeah.
And that's 69. So there's, and.
Well, so do you think that it was a studio thing then? Because the 70s are known as the period of the film student, like, mm-hmm. exploring, doing character studies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Western's never really a character study.
Right.
Even when it is a character study, it's a, like, the Man with No Name trilogy is great. Yes, it's a character study. But it's more about the time and the place that they're studying right. in each mm-hmm. film. So one's about a small town, one's about the Civil War,
right.
one's about just greed in general. So is it because that you need a big budget to do a Western that they're not being made? Because it's not like the stories are ever lacking.
Right.
And it's not like the stories are ever that original. And the period was over before film existed.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite Buster Keaton films is based on the Civil War. That was long over.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Western is... Yeah, I mean, that period's obviously long over and in many ways could be considered long forgotten. I think in some aspects, the Western has shifted and a lot of people, most film scholars consider Easy Rider a Western and consider No Country for Old Men kind
of. Yeah, there you go. I'd kind of.
It's got, I think it is, because it's got a lot of the same elements.
Yeah.
A lot of the same elements. So, it's not the... What's the other one? There's another recent one that has a lot of... Anyway.
There Will Be Blood?
Yeah, that one too. I can't... I've
seen
it. I'm
only mentioning it because of No Country.
Yeah, I can't remember the full plot of that. I just recently watched No Country for Old Men again.
I love that film.
Because it has a lot of Hispanic...
To me, that's a perfect film.
Yeah, it's really good. It has a lot of problematic representations of Hispanic Americans, which I...
Because it's by a Spanish actor?
That, or actually, if you pay close attention to the film, the only time Hispanics or Mexican Americans are represented, they're drug dealers, they're shot dead.
What about when their mariachi band wakes up one of our leads in Mexico?
Maybe that's some of them that aren't. But so I don't know. I think that I would like to make a Western, and I have.
Do you have an idea?
I do.
I'm not asking for the idea. Just.
I do. I have a couple ideas that I think would work. But one thing I would say about the Western genre, and I'm surprised that someone hasn't done it yet, is that in today's film economy, if you want to make a movie, you have to make it, you have to make it big. But you can do
it. What do you mean make
like,
it big?
Like a blockbuster, almost. I mean, I think the Western is, it's part of the American consciousness, not as a film genre itself. Everybody knows these movies throughout history, mm-hmm. and it means something to people, means something because your parents reference those movies or watch those movies, or even some of the lines are really famous. And I think that
well, here's a question for an American studies major. Is it a white thing?
It could be,
because
but
my like
movies when... movies are kind of presented as a white thing.
I'm trying to... The only characters ever that are protagonists in all these Westerns are white males.
Pretty much.
And it's set in a time where the majority of films... where the majority of Americans weren't in America yet. The majority of current Americans. None of my family was in America during this time period.
And I'm sure
it's the same with the majority of the viewers. True. Is that why they're not so popular? I mean, they're very critically acclaimed. They're popular. They never do gangbusters financially, but they always do well, and they're always well respected.
Yeah, I think there will be, well, and I just thought of this. Coen Brothers are remaking, I think, High Noon.
Really,
which is
one of my favorite films.
Yeah,
that's actually not like. See, that's the thing about the Western. That's not a it's a Western, but it's not about
right.
It's not about the Old West.
I've never seen it.
Really? You've never seen High
It'll
Noon?
It'll be on my list.
I'll give you it on the way out. It's my favorite film.
Really?
It's, yeah. A professor I had at DePaul told me this. I don't know if it's true. I hope it is. That's the film that every president passes down to the next. And I think it was Johnson or somebody like that says, whenever you want to go to war, whenever you're like, you have to go to war, watch this film the night before or whatever, something like that. I love that film.
That sounds like a good, that sounds to me like a good.
Well, it's about communism.
And it sounds like a good concept for another American Studies paper, not the film itself, but also those stories that circulate around it.
Oh, yeah. The film is great, and it's perfect.
Okay.
I love
I'll
it. It's shot in real. It's a real-time film.
Oh, really?
So fucking good.
I mean, I've watched probably 25 Westerns in the past year.
This one's good because it's not nearly as long as a lot of those Westerns.
Yeah.
I think it's like 90 minutes. Okay. That's a problem.
Yeah, definitely. But the Coen brothers, you know, they're the hottest directors out there. They're redoing a Western, so what's that say about?
I hope that no one would ever touch that.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's that. It could be another one. It could be, I'm pretty sure it's High Noon.
High Noon, when it came out, very, very, very controversial.
Right.
Very. So good.
Well, actually, I have written a lot about Rio Bravo, which was a response to High Noon.
Yeah.
And to be less controversial, to be more conservative.
So are you a John Wayne fan?
Because
I'm not.
I'm not.
I don't know why.
I mean, I don't. His acting is.
I think of him
bland.
Like, yeah.
In an okay way, but I think I'm more. His politics bother me, and I think that gets in the way of enjoying him.
Same professor that told me about High Noon also told me that John Wayne died with 40 pounds of shit in him.
Ew.
Literally.
Why?
Oh.
Just didn't want to get an enema?
Awful diet.
Well, yeah. It's just like Chuck Norris or Ted Nugent or Charlton Heston. Those people, I have trouble looking.
Well, they should all just fucking die.
Well, yeah.
That's what it is. Just say they all should get their throats slit in the end. Move on. Fuck the old guard, man. That shit's done for a reason.
Right. And I
I like how you just say things like, maybe I just shouldn't have said it, I'm polite. No, I'm all for throat slitting. Old white men. What the fuck?
Speaking back to radio.
Stay rich and white, okay? Fuck off, man.
Yeah, and leave everyone else alone, right?
No, just die.
Oh, okay.
And die like in a shameful way where you can't ever become a martyr.
Like have 40 pounds of shit in your body.
Yeah. Well, that could be a martyr. Look at Reagan, man. Why couldn't he die when he was like an actor with a monkey in a Western? Why couldn't he die then?
Right. And interest back to the Western, and since you brought up Reagan, one thing I find very interesting about the Western genre is that Reagan, who is like not only a sort of cowboy figure, but also acted in a few Westerns. During the 80s, the Western genre was like non-existent almost. Very interesting.
Well, did you study Star Wars as the Western?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But some people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Specifically the first one, when he's on his home planet.
Mm.
That is the Western story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same type of shots that you'll get in all the sweeping, majestic shots. That No Country for Old Men is one of the reasons why it's so beautiful. It's just, let's use that widescreen frame as much as we can.
Yeah.
Sorry, we completely... You have a comedy out right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing I was going to say that has nothing to do with the movie is that I think that we should have a radio show about movies or something, or just culture, and, you know, you can be the asshole and I can be like the...
Fuck you.
I can be the guy who's like kind of like the subtle asshole.
No, I just want to slit throats like, all the time.
Like, you know how...
usually that men are already dead, so I can't get in trouble.
Like in sports radio, there's like the one guy who's like, you know, he's kind of an asshole, but then there's the real asshole.
No, Jim Rome is not burning, sir.
I don't like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't have ESPN. I just know that's a show on it.
Mike and Mike, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah, Mike and Mike in the Morning now on, is it ABC? It's one of those shows. Or CBS, they have like the morning show.
Oh, really?
With two money experts. It's two guys that got swindled out of their fucking money. Like a year ago with money experts.
Huh. That's irony or something. But yeah, I have a movie
TV.
Out.
Yeah, you have a movie out.
Let's talk about that. No.
Let's talk about that. What's the next step for this movie? It's only been screened once, just for family and friends, just last night.
Yeah.
When can people see this?
Well, we're going to set up a couple more showings. We have one set up in July for sure, which is in the very small Indiana town where it was shot, North Webster, Indiana. We're going to be showing it there as part of a festival, not a film festival, just a town festival that they're having.
That's
that,
nice.
Yeah,
it's very small town America.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not knocking this, but you'll probably make all your money back in DVD sales and something like that.
Well, yeah. I don't know what the attendance will be, because this town is, I mean, it's Mayberry small, so.
Yeah, but I bet everyone in that theater buys a copy.
Yeah, it could.
Supporting the home team.
And then, yeah, possible.
Sean Kemp jersey, man. That shit'll sell itself.
Right. And
that's a callback.
Hopefully we'll be showing it at The Hungry Brain in June.
Yep. If I let you.
If you let us.
You fucked me on a date recently.
Yeah. Well, I gave you a little warning.
You gave me a week's warning.
It was more than a week.
10 days?
14.
No, you're a good guy. You're a good guy.
All right.
We'll figure this out. We should do that today, actually.
Okay, we will.
And then plug it. I'll plug it later.
But yeah, I don't know. Besides those two dates, we're going to have it open to go into festivals, which is the next step. We're applying to about 10 plus festivals, and hopefully.
And before you continue on that, a lot of people don't know that shit is expensive and it adds up.
It does.
I made a short film, mm-hmm. and I made the whole thing for $300. It's right. 30 minutes long. So it's not that much money if you think about it. I make all that money back on the night we had it at the Brain, thanks to wonderful donations from wonderful people. Yeah. So I said, okay, everything I made on this, everything I recouped on this, I'm going to put back into the film again on film festivals. So I have $300 to submit to festivals. That maybe let me submit to 8 festivals.
Wow, yeah.
That's nothing.
Right.
So I said, so I spent like another $150 and submitted some like 5 more.
I didn't know you submitted to film festivals.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get in.
Yeah,
fuck that.
We
what a waste
either.
Of time. And I realize now why I didn't get in, and it's completely my fault. And it's not the actors or anybody else's. The sound quality sucks. So I'm turning that into a silent film.
Okay.
And I'm going to resubmit it to just silent film festivals, because I think the actors did a great job. The direction of my photography, my DP was great. My editor was great. The score is amazing. Mm-hmm. Daniel Knox. The poster that Charlie shot, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just turn it into a silent film. And this film that I saw the preview for, Welcome to Gentle Waters, I'm not saying Off the Cuff was good. I liked Off the Cuff. This thing looks so much better.
Oh, it's 10. Sound is very important, like you just noted. And it does look much better, and it definitely sounds a lot better. And our sound engineer was excellent, and our preparation on set and the stuff that we did post on the actual, you know, the way that it looks makes it look so much better. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to hopefully get it into some festivals and people can see it that way. And that, you know.
Because it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the look alone, it sounds great. The trailer's really funny. I don't see why this won't work. The reason why I'm mentioning the money so much is you do have a Kickstarter page.
Yes, and if people don't know what Kickstarter is, it's like a site where you go to and donate money. It's kind of just a site that they set up.
And that's through your Facebook page.
Yeah,
I'll put that link on the... If you download this in iTunes, go to the You, Me, Them, Everybody site. It'll be on the episode link with Brent's name. It'll be right there above or below download this episode. It'll make sense. So.
Sure. And if you can't donate, go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gentlewatersmovie, and become a fan, and that way you can know when it is going to be showing at a film festival. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there'll be a few around the Midwest and everywhere, you know, around
and
the country.
And it's a feature length. It's your second feature length.
Yes.
Which, for those people that don't know, is super, super ambitious. I mean, most film school grads don't even have one feature length, let alone two.
Right. I mean, yeah, I'm glad we talked about this a little on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we did tackle the feature length straight up the first time. And
yeah, I still haven't done it.
You will.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm shooting another short film next week. I mean, I can't even think about feature length right now.
You need to shoot like 4 or 5 shorts and put them together.
I might. Here's a story that doesn't make any sense, and we'll call it Slacker.
You got to get them to make sense together.
No, I'll call it Slacker. That's a Linklater 1989 indie film reference. That's what the people love, 21-year-old references.
My very first film theory class, that was the very first film that she showed. No.
And you were instantly turned off? Now let's watch Waking Life and watch this shit animated.
I think she...
Was maybe she was high?
Metropolis was the first
one. That's not
one.
Bad. That's good.
But we did definitely watch Slacker.
Was she high, your professor?
No.
I don't think so. I like every idea behind Slacker. We're talking about the Richard Linklater film, not the like 2003 Comedy Central on air all the time film starring Laura Prepon and Jason Schwartzman.
I don't think I even know that one.
No, this is the... it looks like the guy from Atlas Sound and Deer Hunter on the cover of the poster.
Definitely.
Or is the poster. It's a great, brilliant film. For those of you who haven't seen it, it essentially follows the life, in quotes, of a camera. So this camera essentially shoots this entire town. And when I say town, think of a town like in the movie Gummo. Or just, it's Americana, but like the underbelly, seedy, like what Crumb drew.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's three references for you indie film fucks. So if you know any of these, you probably know. So why am I describing it? What the fuck? This is a waste of time.
And everybody else is busy Googling it right now. Pausing the thing.
But Slacker's a great film you should watch once before you die. I feel the same way with Waking Life, another Richard Linklater film. And I love that director can go from Waking Life to a remake of The Bad News Bears and go from Slacker to Dazed and Confused. This guy just got a ton of range.
Yeah. He's a good director.
He's brilliant. I really enjoy some of his films. I really hate others, and that's why it's so cool. I did School of Rock, for Christ's sake. You know, like, he's got talent.
Right. Are you saying School of Rock's good?
I think School of Rock for a kid's film is one of the best kid's film of all time. And it's got one of my favorite rock and roll scenes of all time, and I still want to do this. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. You'd be a huge help on this project. The chalkboard scene. It's part of the montage.
Right.
I have that film, and I watch the director's commentary, because that's the whole point of owning the DVD, to me at least. Like, why the fuck else would I buy it? And they spent 3 days on that chalkboard.
Wow.
Like, no, do this then. Like, that would be the most fun 3 days of work ever.
No, that chalkboard is actually something that I think, I haven't studied it that closely, but if you were teaching like a history of modern rock and roll or something, that would be a great reference.
I taught an arts and indie culture class at this high school in Little Village, and I did that with them, but we did it on the fly. They would name a band, and they'd say, like, okay, I like Slipknot, and then I would trace that back to... We'd always start at Bo Diddley.
Right.
And, like, no matter what, there's always steps back to Bo Diddley.
Right.
Great. So you go to the Misfits with the costumes, you go from Slayer for the faster beats, and then you just trace it back and forth and back
that's
and forth.
Awesome.
And you always get Bo.
And that teaches...
Bo knows.
It teaches them something.
The Bo Diddley is the best.
Right. Did anyone say Insane Clown Posse?
No, they didn't like them. They made fun of them because they said only dumb white kids like that.
Thank God.
But, I mean, Insane Clown Posse has a lot going for them right now.
I just don't like their music.
Why do I end up talking about Insane Clown Posse every fucking show?
My fault.
No, it's. I mean, I alluded to it when I started with Slipknot. I mean, that's the most logical progression.
All the shitty bands I could have mentioned, I could have... You know.
Yeah, but Insane Clown Posse is part of like the zeitgeist right now, considering they got parodied on SNL for the second time in one season.
Oh, wow.
A band that's been around for, 16, 17 years? That's insane. Yeah. I don't care how many records you're selling. If you're that popular for that long, good on you.
Yeah.
It's like you and Al Green and the Ku Klux Klan, all popular for a long time. Good for you guys. They know what they're doing. So people should just go to Let's Plug Stuff. It's time for plugs.
Great.
Kickstarter page.
Yeah,
which you can find through Facebook.
Or go to Google.
That ends on May 3rd.
I think so.
So
around there.
A dollar would help.
Anything would help. And, you know,
I got a question. Sure. I don't think you'll know the answer because I don't know. If people donate to Kickstarter, is it like donating it to a nonprofit?
Yeah.
Could they write this off at the end of the year?
I'm pretty sure. Don't know the specifics, but I you know Kickstarter is not taking a percentage or anything. All the money goes straight to us so we can get into the fests, and I'm pretty sure it's a nonprofit. Yeah.
So then there's really a good reason to donate.
True.
Because you're
two good reasons.
Yeah, like even if you hate Brent,
yes.
If you hate your taxes even more, definitely just donate.
Yeah.
So it evens out.
Can we get a bunch of tea partiers donating, please?
Yeah. See, I was at the Tea Party convention thing on tax day in D.C., and it just bummed me out, man.
I was when I was in D.C. back in, they were there, too.
Yeah.
Ugh, man.
Do you like D.C.?
I actually, when I was there, I felt more of a draw to it than I had the past couple times I've been there.
I really like it.
I felt, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be like that if I was not a tourist in there, but, you know, we... got out to a few different places, and it's got a lot of universities that I might possibly be able to work
it's,
out
and
someday.
And it's beautiful. The and city itself.
And it's not too far from New York.
No. And it's like 100 times cleaner than New York.
Yeah. And it's not far from some beautiful nature and the ocean.
Yeah, it's so weird. And like the bad neighborhoods are like Humboldt Park bad here.
Right.
So it's like, no, this isn't that bad. Like,
right, yeah.
Like, no matter what, I can only get stabbed.
Right, and that's because they've worked on...
It's not a bad city, man. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, I agree. And one of the things that caught my eye is that I'm always looking for places that would, you know, be cool to live or whatever. And when we were walking around a couple times, I saw, like, parking lots with buses that said, to New York City...
Yeah,
4 hours, $30.
Yeah,
like, man,
there's
that's
a ton
awesome.
Of those.
That's like so great.
I got an idea for your film. I'm sure you've thought about this and talked about this with your co-director. Is it co-director? How do I bill you guys? You both direct. You and Jessica.
It's tough to even
co-writers
bill
and co-directors, co-producers,
yeah. Creators. It's so hard.
Is it co or like directed by and then both of your names, or is it co-directed? You know what I mean?
It's the way we have written it for the film is directed by
and then
Brent,
both of your names,
Cato, Jessica Hardy, or vice versa.
Okay.
But,
well, she and you, I'm sure, have talked about this. What about a tour?
I've thought about that.
We didn't even talk about this. You have We mentioned it. You have improvisers and stand-up comics
mm-hmm.
as your actors.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goddamn first hour, and then you show your film and just do like a short Midwest tour and test those waters, get it waters, and then go to East Coast. You can easily do New York, Philly, Washington, and I'm sure even if you only tour with like 8 people total, that's enough people where you can stay in a house or just split 2 hotel rooms on the cheap
or find some couch surf.
Exactly, I don't think it'd be that bad.
I think I have thought about it, and the reason that I haven't quite done it yet, well, two reasons. Well, I guess it's actually the same reason, is that I'm very busy and a lot of the actors are very busy.
Well, of course. I'm just saying, don't you have like a 2-week break in the summer?
Yeah, I have some breaks in the summer.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we should just go to Indianapolis and Milwaukee and places we could just do it in a day, basically.
Yeah, just do like weekend shows. Yeah. And for the actors, they'll get paid based on the improv show and you'll get paid. I mean,
it's a good idea.
Just a thought, throwing that out there.
We had definitely thought about doing the improv stuff before and tying it in and just being like, you know, because it's fun and everybody likes each other. And after, which we didn't talk about the shooting of the film, but everybody had, you know, a great experience shooting the film. So
cool. How much time do we have left? You could just say that on a microphone. You know I'm going to mention it. We'll end it now. Don't worry. I'm going to end this.
If I can, you know, talk forever.
No, I'm cutting you off. We're almost there an hour.
Oh, we're already at an hour.
Yeah, we're already at an hour. Sean Kemp took up at least 10 minutes. My Klan and Counting Crows talk took up 20. You've had about 30 seconds.
Klan comments. Brandon.
I'm anti-Klan.
I hope so. If you're not, then I'm out of here.
Yeah. I take that controversial anti-Klan stance that a lot of Tea Partiers aren't willing to make. So.
Oh, man.
All right.
Anti-Klan.
Well, you know what? You're not coming on the show again for a year. I'll have your wife on to talk about the film, which is going to be at the Brain.
Let's
How about
do
that,
it. Please,
asshole?
No, please
She'll
do.
She'll be a hell of a lot more animated than you.
No,
I don't think your voice will be nearly as sexy, though.
She'll tell stories about her and her sister prank phone calling people and people fall asleep.
We'll do a rural morning zoo show there.
Yeah,
that's going to be great.
No. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm trying to think of my morning zoo show name. I'm thinking about Titties in the Am. Titties in the AM.
Titties in the AM.
But just pronounce it Titties in the AM.
Hmm.
I don't know why. Okay, picking up, this is from the Kids Book. Blah, blah. This is from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. An awful, awful book. That
my question,
apparently Time Out Chicago considers my favorite book.
Oh, yeah. Well,
No, I'm just fucking... Because I'm sure that the Time Out Chicago writer is still listening. I don't remember it.
It was number 40 for Sean Kemp. That's how that all started. And it was like the worst question. It was like a PhD question. It was like, so we're not doing
that again.
No,
let me just read the question real quick. If people stop growing and getting stronger by the time they reached your age, and so adults were neither bigger nor stronger than you are, would you still do what they said? If so, why? That's an awful question. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so pick a question between 1 and 260, not number 40.
259.
Make believe that right now you have to pick the job you will have as an adult. What is the best job you could think of? What is the worst? That's not bad.
Oh, that's better.
That's pretty good. And that should be like question like 4, not 259.
What's, they're thinking at the end. They're getting these kids to think. Well, they're thinking about jobs, which is not, you know, do kids...
260's deep, though.
Should kids be thinking about jobs? What age group is this?
It's just kids. I think it says, like, 3 to 8 or something like that. I don't think that it matters. I've thought about jobs since I could remember.
But it... Well, anyway, I'm not going to get into some sort of child psychology.
No, when I was always a kid, it's like, oh, I want to be a baseball player, or I want to be a football player, or something like that. And that was a job.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's like, I'd like to run around... Kind of. If you like cocaine, strippers, and like roids, I don't like any of those.
I don't like roids, but the other two.
I don't like any of them. I don't like cocaine. I've never done cocaine, so I don't know if I like it. But I'm going to go with no based on annoying habits. Strippers are just making me sad. Like, that's the women's studies rape victim advocate. I mean, it's like, great, now someone that was raped gets to sit on my dick, and I get to feel uncomfortable, and then give them money out of some weird thing, and I'm a kind of a germaphobe, so I got a fucking puree on my hands, and I got psoriasis, so I'm bleeding everywhere. So now I got bloody hands and a stripper that I never wanted to touch, and it's weird. So that's no. I can't be an athlete for those three reasons. And I just can't afford steroids. I totally take them. But then you got to work out even more, or else you're just a fat dude with steroids. Right. Like, come on.
We have really touched on some great subjects this time. What do I want to be when I grow up?
What do you want to be? What is the best job you can think of? What is the worst? Make believe that right now you have to pick the best job. Pick the job you will have as an adult.
Man, I already am an adult, but I would love to be a movie director.
Okay, there you go. You're doing that.
And I'm working on it.
Now, what's the worst job?
The worst job. Oh, man. PR guy for the Republican Party.
That's a great, easy job. We're totally different. Because once again, you said you like cocaine and strippers and not roids. That's all that fucking job is. Look at Michael Steele.
It'd be like the consciousness. Like, you cannot
visit. If you were on that much cocaine and in that many strip clubs, your retinas would be shot from all the strobe lights. Your sense perception would be just shot from all the consistent, great, expensive blow that's funded by the Republican Party. That's the best job in the world. I think you've got these reversed, man.
A PR director for like a Republican
wrong with PR directors?
State Senate candidate from rural Kansas.
Once again, you're going to the conventions, same cocaine, still good.
But living in rural Kansas.
Yeah, but you're so high with strippers all the time, it's no different.
I couldn't live with myself.
Well, yeah, you'd be a totally you'd be a soulless person. It doesn't matter.
It's the Republican part.
Apparently, you don't want anyone that's a Republican to watch your films.
No. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
No, I'm only screening in a small town in Indiana. Fuck.
Here's my thought. If Arizona can discriminate against everybody based on skin color.
Not white people, idiot. And blacks.
Well,
they like blacks.
No, that's not the point of the law. Is you can pull over anybody.
Blacks and whites.
Anybody.
Oh, okay. Well, they like whites enough to not pull them over. They like blacks enough not to give them immigration shit and just make up other shit.
Oh, yeah.
But the browns, no, they're in trouble.
But they can pull you over based on suspecting. Anyway.
How is that different than ever?
Well, yeah, you're right.
What
because it's
fuck?
A law.
It's our. Oh, yeah. So now it's just racism has been legalized?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. But if they can do that, if Republicans can do that in Arizona, then I am going to make people like show their Democrat card at the door of my films.
Which you have as well. You have your Democrat card?
My Democrat.
That isn't communism either.
Or you have to show your...
Listen, I want the MSNBC Rachel Maddow viewer like myself there. I want the ICP kid that just was never hugged enough. I want the crazy Republican at my shows because I want your money. Okay. I don't give a fuck.
That's who said that?
Me.
But some other comedian said that.
I said that. Let's reference other shit that we didn't create. No, fuck that. I created it all.
I wonder if people are still listening.
Hell no. If they started at minute 50, this is a great podcast. If they started at minute 1, it's weird. It doesn't make sense.
This is a two-parter.
No, it's not. I ain't cutting this
shit
up.
No, not perfect. For you. I'm saying for someone listening, which they need to know this at the beginning, but you need to like... listen to a half hour and then take a break and then listen to the next half hour.
Maybe. I won't plug it that way. I think this is fine. I think if you're at work right now, we just ate up an hour of your time in a really good way.
Now go get some coffee and a donut.
Yeah. You know, I'm not eating as many donuts as I used to. More bagels now. I don't
if
know
you work
why.
For the Republican Party, it's, 9 o'clock? Go get some strippers and some blow and start the day.
Wow. I didn't know that you were so anti-Republican. That's
oh,
great.
Really? You knew that about me.
I didn't know it was, like, a consistent, like, threat and or worry in your mind.
I'm not Well, I'm only threatened by them because they do things like pass the Arizona law. And
I'm broke, so no matter what, I'm like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't like it. I'm obviously into, being a political science major was one of the worst things I could have ever done.
That's what my undergrad was.
Yeah, what a waste of time. We should have just went straight to film.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So people should go to the Facebook page, which I've already plugged. We got to get the fuck out of here. This is going on way too long. I'll play some Team Band. Team Band, when you're listening to it, this has just played The Hungry Brain as part of the live podcast, and now this is your incentive to download that show when it comes out. Go to Brent's Facebook page for Welcome to Gentle Waters. He's got a blog we didn't even mention. Yeah. I'll throw those links there.
On Chicago.com.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful evening.
Of your life to be bored. So for the next 2.5 minutes, Team Band is giving you the chance to have fun. So put your hands in the air and shout with us. Team Band! From Earth, and I believe its inhabitants live underground. So we're gonna need your help getting the word out. So shout with us really loud.
Team Band!